Chris and Kira.
I'd rather put my nipples in a pencil shop.
Sunday to Thursday from 10
on 2FM.
Right, how is everyone? My name is Chris, this wonderful woman. Her name is Kira.
Hello.
And joining us in the studio, as she does every Tuesday, let's give her a big round of applause, Miss Emma Power. Hello.
Hi.
Emma Power, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What are you feeling about that new Haim track?
I think it's cool.
You digging it?
Digging it.
Yeah, no, it's good. What do you think, Kira?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, no, it is. It's awesome.
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool, because I'm cool.
I tell you one thing.
And I'm into cool things.
Make sure you pronounce them Haim, Kira. Because okay. I tell you, the
Not
amount
him.
Of
I
smug,
him, I
self-important people who have corrected me. Actually, it's not Haim, it's Haim, like it rhymes with time. Okay, thank you. And they even have a little thing down, like as how to explain it to you. Because they go, Haim, and it rhymes with time. So ladies, it's Haim, all right? And that is what's up. Now, let me tell you something.
What's with bands? Why can't they just make straightforward
names? I know.
Like,
see, Kira, it's Haim. It rhymes with time. It's not Haim. It's not pronounced Haim. It's pronounced Haim. Okay?
You sound great, Chris.
Thank you. It's this new kind. I've taken up smoking and it's really ruining my voice, so it must be working.
Smoking's bad for you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. Do you not like bad boys, though, Emma? Like, I'm doing it to impress you.
I love a bad boy.
Have you not seen him hanging around with his leather jacket outside?
Smoking. Whenever you come out, that's why I do it. Whenever you walk by, I start smoking. I put on a leather jacket. I'm trying to impress you.
He takes this hip flask from his back pocket.
Yeah.
And then he drinks it.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. But then as I drink it, I go like, and like it really hurts me to drink because I'm not really good at drinking spirits. But anyway, look.
Thanks for doing that for me.
But look, it's all for you, Emma.
It means a lot.
I know you like the bad boys, so I'm just doing my best. But look, obviously it's not working. Now, let me tell you something. Emma is in to play the fake celebrity news quiz with us. Now, how this works is Emma comes in every Tuesday and she gives Kira and I 4 celebrity news stories. However, one of these stories is fake and it will be up to Kira and I to try and guess which story is fake among all of the real ones. Now, Kira, just to remind you gently, and I don't do this to gloat or to rub it in, however, I believe I am on a winning streak of 2.
You are.
If I win tonight 3, then you're in serious
trouble,
Kira.
Yeah, I am in trouble.
Then I'm in winning streak territory. Like, I mean, I could go on for months at that point if I get the 3.
Exactly.
So look.
It's always a danger.
How annoying would that be, right? If he won every single week.
It would be really annoying.
I'd actually probably just give up and just do it between me and Kira. I'd say, Chris, you're not involved anymore. This is between me and Kira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go outside and smoke then.
Yeah.
Drink for the half hour. Yeah.
Just look in the studio.
Yeah, I'll be outside the control room and I'll be like really obviously smoking and drinking and doing cool things and not doing my homework and stuff. You know, I don't do my homework either.
Oh, you are too cool.
I just never do it.
How do I become as cool as you?
Look. Hang out with me, baby. You might find out. You know what I'm saying?
Kira, you're going to see me smoking with my hip flask.
I'll be walking down to work and the next thing I'll see the two of you on a motorbike.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll splash Kira
and
as we go by.
And you stick up your fingers at me as you drive by.
Drive through a puddle.
Like, hey, guys.
Why can't I be as cool as you?
Well, all one day. That's all ahead of us. But for now, let's hear the 4 stories. Emma, what is the first story tonight? Bearing in mind, everyone, the 4 stories Emma's about to give us, one of them is fake. All right, that's the important thing. So what's story number 1?
So the first story is about my favourite programme as a child. Well, actually, it's up there with Neighbours.
Yeah.
That was one of my favourites as a child. Biker Grove. Did you watch it?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. So Ant, who is Ant of Ant and Dec, was in Biker Grove, as you know. That's where they met each other. That's where they became famous.
Yeah.
His on-screen mum in Biker Grove was actually his real mum.
That would be really cool if that was the case. So Ant's on-screen mum in Biker Grove was his real mum.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. That's cool. That's an interesting piece of trivia. What is story number 2, Emma?
Story number 2 is that Dermot O'Leary kisses a window every night before he goes to sleep.
Why? Kisses a window?
It's like a tick, like a weird tick.
Yeah.
Kisses a window?
Yeah.
Like any window? Or is there like some window that like
house.
Of significance?
He it's just when he goes, before he goes to bed, so I'm presuming it's his bedroom window.
And like he kisses it, why? Because like it reminds him of his mom or
no,
some
I'd
weird
imagine
thing?
No, I imagine it's just kind of like a tick.
He doesn't know why.
It's like one of those things you do, like, you know the way sports people have different superstitions? Like they'll tie their left boot before they tie their right boot before they play a major game. Maybe that's kind of his
thing. It's like an
OCD
thing.
It's kind of like an OCD thing.
I wash my hands a lot. Like I wash my hands unnecessarily.
Well,
so ticks, same thing, I guess.
Ticks and OCD are quite related. So maybe it is.
Usually.
Yeah.
All right then.
Like,
so
I can't get into a bed unless it's been dressed.
What do you mean?
I can't get into a bed unless it's been dressed. Like if the duvet is all ruffled and the pillows aren't like, you know, properly positioned, I'll dress the bed.
Oh, and then mess it up to get into it.
Down, and then I get into it.
You'd hate my bed. I'm a checker. I have to check things about a million times before I leave the house, before I go to bed.
Chris is a bit of a checker
Yeah. You know, I was so bad, and I don't mean to do a shitty immersion joke now, but I used to always be worried that I was leaving the immersion on. So whenever I was leaving the house, if I was going away for like a period of, say, longer than a day, I would take a picture of something with the date on it or something
That's
similar
very smart.
Beside
That's
the
a
immersion.
Really good idea.
So then I could, like, when I was wherever I was, I'd be like, did I leave the immersion? And then I'd be like, no, I didn't. There it is.
In a girl's world, do you know what it is, Chris?
Hair straightener. Yeah.
Oh, making sure it's off. Yeah. They can set fire.
Yep,
My life is so much easier since I stopped using my straightener. I don't really need to use a straightener because I've got straight hair. So my life is so much easier now that I don't have... that's a worry I don't have
to worry about. So that used to just preoccupy you, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that would ruin a night out. Yeah.
Well, Dermot O'Leary kisses a window before he goes to sleep, apparently. So there's story number two. What is story number three?
Story number three is that Catherine Zeta-Jones... she's got amazing hair.
Yeah.
Speaking of hair and hair straighteners.
Absolutely. Gorgeous.
So she
hair.
Says that the reason that she's got such lovely hair is that she puts beer in it. So she uses beer to keep her hair looking nice.
Okay, fair enough. I could believe that. I mean, that's possible.
You use vodka in yours, don't you, Chris?
Yes, yeah. I do. And a little bit of gin sometimes. That's right. Those are my beauty tips.
That's why I'm always sniffing Chris's hair.
Yeah. That's how
that's we're on always air. Drunk.
So what is that intoxicated room
Chris,
in here?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's story number four?
Story number four is that Liz McLaren from Atomic Kitten can lick her elbows.
Okay. You know, apparently that is actually really difficult.
Oh, it's really, it's really difficult.
But I've seen pictures of loads of people
like
do
I
it.
Like, I used to be like, yeah, of course you can do that, surely. There's no problem. But it's actually really hard. Anyone listening to this now is trying to do exactly that.
Yeah.
No, it's really difficult.
How cool would it be if you could lick your elbow, though?
I don't really think it would be that cool.
I can't imagine it's an amazing
practice. Yeah, like, I mean, it's not really that impressive.
You'd be known as the girl that licked her elbow in a house party.
Yeah, true.
You know?
It would be better like if you could 69 yourself or something, because then at least you'd get benefit. You'd get benefit out of like what you were doing at least.
Okay.
But like being able to lick your elbow isn't exactly very exciting, is it? So look, those are the four stories. Now listen to this. I'm going to give you the four stories again. And bear in mind that one of these stories is fake. Story number one, Ant, of course, of Ant and Dec fame. Well, he was in Biker Grove. And when he was in Biker Grove, here's story number one. His mom... in Biker Grove was his real mom in real life. Story number one. Story number two, Dermot O'Leary kisses a window before he sleeps. Story number three, Catherine Zeta-Jones says the reason she has such lovely hair is because of beer. Apparently she washes it with beer. And story number four, Liz McLaren from Atomic Kitten can lick her own elbows. Well, this is some selection of stories.
I have no
this
idea.
Evening. Neither do I.
I mean, literally, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Really,
I'm going to believe the Catherine Zeta-Jones story because actually, quite recently, I did buy Chris shampoo with beer in it.
You did from Lush. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
A cognac
birthday.
Shampoo. That's right.
For his birthday.
Emma, I noticed you didn't say happy birthday to me.
I did say happy birthday to you.
Did you?
I gave you a big... Didn't I give him a big hug when I came back last week?
Oh, you did. Sorry.
I did, yeah.
Sorry.
Wow,
apologies.
Chris.
Yeah, I have a really bad memory.
Wow. If you could be nicer to the guests we have on the show,
apologies.
I'd really appreciate it.
Remember, you didn't let me win on my birthday.
I didn't.
A few days before.
Emma, you have to be real with the rules here. Can't be making concessions. All right, so anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to believe that the Catherine Zeta-Jones one is true, that she does put beer in her hair. Because I recently purchased shampoo which has beer in it for Mr. Christopher Green over there. And look how shiny.
It's very nice shampoo.
Is,
it's very nice.
I don't remember Biker Grove. I'm going to say it's true. Ant and Dec, they seem to really keep it in the family, you know. And I'm going to say that maybe that is true, that it was his real mum. I don't know. Dermot O'Leary kissing a window. I'm going to say that one's the fake one.
Yeah. See, that seems really odd.
But also,
doesn't it?
So odd it could be true.
Yeah.
You know, so. And I know that people have their little quirks and their little routines.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Liz McLaren can lick her elbow.
So you're saying the fake story is the Dermot O'Leary kissing a window every night before he sleeps story. All right, you know, I don't know whether or not Emma is doing the whole hiding in plain sight thing, but that seems too weird to not be true. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I really just genuinely don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say story number one is fake. I am going to say that Ant's mom in Biker Grove was not his mom in real life.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going for. Emma, are you happy with how everything went?
Happy.
Okay?
It's always very tense in the studio around this time, isn't it?
That should be, Emma, because something important is about to go down. So, of course, Emma, she has heard my answer. She has heard Kira's answer. And now she's going to start breaking it down for us.
Okay, so Catherine Zeta-Jones does wash her hair out with beer.
Okay,
Chris,
and
both of us, yeah.
For any of the ladies out there or men who want to know how to do it, you basically wash your hair, towel dry it, put some beer, like pour beer over your hair, then you wrap it up in foil, leave it for about 5-10 minutes, and then you rinse it out.
No way.
Yeah, I'm
really?
Still
would
try
your
that.
Hair not smell of beer, though?
That's what I'd worry about, but apparently it gets rid of all the build up on your hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather drink it.
Yeah, I'd rather drink it too, but sure, you
You'd
know
be wringing your hair out over your mouth. Over a bathtub.
Into a glass.
Yeah, yeah,
just
exactly.
Pouring me in a bath.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Like, where's Kira? She didn't show up to fix everything. I'm like, hey guys, just had a bath of beer. My hair is amazing.
And like, you'll still be like half dressed and like, you know, obviously we're half ready to go out for the night and, you know, we'll have to deal with you then. But anyway, look, all right, okay. So that story is real.
As long as you enjoy it, that's the main
thing.
That
is the important.
So I can tell you that Ant's mum really is Ant's mum at Biker Grove.
Ah, wow. Right. Okay.
I wish we had the Biker Grove music. I love at the end.
I'm sure we could get it.
Biker Grove.
Give me a minute and I'm sure we can find it for you.
Okay, so it's between the Dermot O'Leary kissing a window every night before he goes to sleep and Liz McLaren from Atomic Kitten can lick both her elbows.
This is bollocks.
So it's between me and you, Kira.
I hate being against you, Emma, but anyway.
This is bullshit. Sorry, I'm really such a sore loser.
Whatever, Chris, sorry. Myself and Emma are just talking here about who's going to win the fake celebrity news, Chris.
You're not on your winning streak anymore?
No, I'm obviously not.
You're high horse.
Hey, you know what? Well done, though. 2 weeks in a row, Chris is very
good. 2 weeks at the top. You know, it's difficult to stay up there for that long. So, all right. I mean, I can understand when the run is over.
So, if I win, are you going to play the Biker Grove theme for me?
Maybe.
Okay.
I might.
So, I can tell you.
Stop antagonizing him, Emma.
That Liz McLaren cannot lick her elbows. Wow. I made that up.
Oh.
Emma is the winner.
So, well, Emma, here we go.
So, Dermot Leary, O'Leary, yes.
Apparently, there's loads of remixes of this out there as well. But this is a remix of
Biker
Grove.
This is a remix,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
I want the end. Biker.
I don't even know what Emma's talking about. I
and then it goes, ha ha. You don't remember that?
No. Can I give you the intro? Would the intro maybe do?
Okay, go on, all go right. for it.
I think this is the intro to Biker Grove. This is horrible. Is this what the intro to Biker Grove was?
Yeah. It was so much better when I was a child.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, it's obviously, you know.
I think it's still on the telly. So anyway, Dermot O'Leary does kiss a window every night. And he said that this is so, like, it's so in his brain that he has to do this every night that even when he's, like, pissed rotten, he goes home and kisses the window before he goes to sleep.
It's so weird.
Yeah, so he must do it when he's away as well. Sorry, I feel like I'm 10 again. It's great.
This actually was kind of a cool theme, if you think about it. I'm actually kind of getting into this now. Say again?
The remix is cool.
Yeah.
Every so often, these like cool kids just pop up on the screen.
Yeah, I know, these happening kids pop up on the screen.
Like, anyway, look at that dude.
He looks like he's part of Generation X, doesn't he?
Look, that's you and Kira.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I tell you what, Emma, congratulations on winning the fake celebrity
news quiz.
But also, I have heard of that thing that Dermot O'Leary has. Like, I even remember, like, when I was a kid, I used to have the same thing. As in, I would think, like, if I didn't step on, you know, whatever, a certain tile or whatever, that, like, bad things would happen. I think we all kind of grow up like that.
I will never walk underneath the ladder.
Yeah, I'll never do that. Or I'll never walk on, you know, like, the drain, the manhole things. You know the things, there's, like, four of them. They're, you know the ones I'm
talking about? No, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
The four things that are together, they're, like, manholes. I'll never walk over four.
Yeah.
Really?
The name of them, yeah.
What do you mean? The things like the drain covers?
The drain covers, So, you know, sometimes there's four in a row. I'd never walk over four. You'd never go near them.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right, in case you fall down or something.
No, just because it's bad luck.
Okay. I always salute a magpie.
Yeah, I'll do that as well.
If I just see one.
Yeah. If we're ever driving and magpies start flying, Kira goes crazy.
Touch something green, never been seen.
Yeah. Well, look, anyway, Emma, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Touch Chris.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, what is your Twitter? It's at EmmaPower87, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I can't believe you just had to ask
Emma
me that.
EmmaPower87. I was more just doing it for the benefit of people listening. You know, like on radio ads, when they say, there's a new offer, and then the other one goes, really? And then they tell them all the details.
Okay, do you want to try that again?
So, Emma, what's your Twitter?
Well, my Twitter is at EmmaPower87. What's yours, Chris?
Oh, it's at HChrisGreen. Did you say yours was at EmmaPower87?
Yes, I did.
At EmmaPower87.
Oh, and at I hate Chris Green.
Yeah, well, I just hate Chris Green. Emma, if you could get it right.
Oh, Freudian slip there.
Yeah. Emma does hate me.
I don't,
you know,
I
actually heard Emma does hate me.
For terms and conditions, please check out Kira King's Twitter. I am Kira King.
Yeah. All right, well, Emma, thank you for coming in.
No worries.
Bye, guys. Roll. Yeah. Joining us on the phone is another wonderful lady. Let's give her a big round of applause, because everyone who comes on the phone, I think, deserves a round of applause. Hi, Janet. How are you?
I am great.
Awesome. Now,
how are you all doing?
Good, thank you. I can't complain. Janet, thanks for coming on, because I did want to talk to you about this and I did want to clear a few things up. And yeah, Ciara, go ahead.
Before we start, okay, Chris lined up this interview. So when we have our meetings, you know, we get briefed on it. And Chris decided, you know, quite recently to tell me what the interview was actually about. And I was stunned into silence, is the only way for it.
We were talking to our producer, Teresa. I was talking to her last week, and I said, Teresa, I want to talk to the people behind this story. That's the end of it. Make that happen. And sure enough, that is what's happening right now. So, Janet, you are, because I want to clear a few things up now before we get into it, because just so everyone's aware of what's going on here. You are a friend of Cecilia Westbrook. Am I right?
Yes, now, we went to college together.
You and Cecilia went to college together, and I'll tell you why Cecilia is in the news, or I guess has got a lot of attention from gentlemen like me, is because Cecilia Westbrook put out an article that's called How to Make Breakfast with Your Vagina. Am I correct in saying that, Janet?
Yes, I wrote the article.
You wrote the article?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is interesting. So, I'm looking forward to this, because I want to get to the bottom of it, because often, you know, newspapers and big, you know, news websites that obviously are hungry for a nice eye-catching headline, they can sometimes misinterpret, be it intentionally or unintentionally, what exactly it is people like yourself are going for when they write these articles. So, how to make breakfast with your vagina, is that what we're talking about? How to make breakfast with our collective vaginas? Or what is the actual story behind this? How did you even think of doing this?
Well, you know, it started out as a joke. It just started out, we were shooting the shit, and somebody made a joke that because vaginas have this bacteria in them, you know, eating pussy is probiotic and it's good for your health.
Okay, fair enough. Because vaginas do have a lot of good and bad bacteria in them, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
Doesn't everybody have conversations with their friends about that?
Sure, yeah.
Me and Chris talk about it all the time.
Exactly. I mean, I have been extolling the benefits of this for years, so...
Exactly.
Right, so...
So, yeah, it started out as a joke, and I think, as I mentioned in the article, somebody brought up the fact that there are multiple cookbooks out there for cooking with semen.
Sure.
So we all kind of went, ew.
Well, semen's a form of protein and everything, so... You know,
sure,
there's that.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And so somebody Googled, you know, the female version of that, and there was just nothing on it. Absolutely nothing on the internet. Nobody had ever tried anything like that before. And it kind of piqued her interest. And
you guys identified this niche in the market and said, hey, we need to, you know, release a similar thing, but for cooking with vaginal, you know, products.
Exactly. Just to see if it would work.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is
nobody's
all perfectly reasonable. Say again?
Totally. I just said, you know, nobody's ever done it before, and it seemed like something that might work, and she is a scientist and curious about the world around her, so she went for it.
Okay, yeah. So sorry, let me get this straight, okay? So she decided to try to make food with her vaginal secretions.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Ciara, you
no,
listen to this.
No.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Ciara. What's wrong?
How does one go about doing that?
Oh, well, look, that's why we're having this chat today with Janet, who's on the phone. So, Janet, I hear about all this stuff, especially when you're looking at TV ads about, you know, commercials for, we'll say, health things and yogurt. A word that you hear thrown around the place all the time is probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there probiotics in the vagina?
Absolutely.
And they're the things that are in all these healthy yogurts and, like, yogurt drinks and everything, aren't they?
There's probiotics in your gut and your intestinal tract and your vagina. I mean, they're just all over. Some of them are shared between those and some of them aren't. And that's one thing I learned writing this article is there's a lot we don't know about the vagina and how things work.
Sure.
Well,
you ladies are making sure that we kind of pioneer in this field, and I'm glad that you guys are innovating. So probiotics, if my understanding is that they're like healthy bacteria, and that, you know, there's
exactly.
good bacteria and bad bacteria, and good bacteria like probiotics, they do things like fight infections and help you digest stuff and keep everything clean and do all of that. So
exactly.
if you don't mind, I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty with you, if that's all right. right. How exactly do you get probiotics from a vagina into a thing that, in which they can be cooked or prepared? And what exactly is the real process that's going on here? Explain it to me.
Well, the way you make regular yogurt is you take milk and this starter culture and just basically leave it to sit. So she essentially, well, she set it up like an experiment with a control that was regular yogurt, a milk control that was just milk, and then she grabbed a spoon and took a little culture of her own lady juices and started it with the milk.
She then, you know, kind of grew them or incubated them or whatever the term is. Excuse me if my science isn't dead accurate, but she basically got her own sample from in there and... I guess started the process of making yogurt or whatever, how you'd ferment any culture, like cheese or milk or any of this.
Exactly. And she left it overnight and came back in the morning and there was yogurt.
Wow.
And am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I right in saying that she did a taste test?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what did the first batch...
And she actually put some blueberries in it.
Well, that's nice.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice way of preparing it. Exactly, yeah. So, exactly. How did it taste?
She said it tasted a little bit kind of sour and tangy. She compared it to Greek yogurt.
Okay, that's fair enough. I mean, sure. I can get down with that. So, can I ask you, did you taste it? Have you tasted any of these products?
Didn't.
You have not.
I would if I had been. I wasn't in the same place as her when she did it.
Would you? Like, seriously, Janet, would you?
You know, I might taste my own. I'm not sure that I would taste hers.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. I could probably go as far as tasting my own, but if it was someone else's, I'd probably be a little weirder. I mean, I'd probably be a little.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good friends, but I'm not sure we're that good.
Yeah, that would kind of take your friendship to another level, I'd imagine.
A whole other level.
The problem with this, as you're saying, there's good bacteria and there's bad bacteria in the vagina. So you talked to a microbiologist, and there is some problems with eating vaginal secretions in a yogurt, isn't there?
Yeah, basically he said, you know, the bad news is it's really not safe on an individual level to do it, because you can't ensure that whatever grows is going to be the good bacteria and not the bad bacteria.
Okay.
It's just kind of a crapshoot. It's not necessarily, he said, you know, sometimes you're just going to maybe get a bad batch. And so that's not super safe to do.
Yeah. Like, for example, like if a female has a yeast infection.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't really want to eat that.
Even if you had just been to the OBGYN and gotten a clean bill of health, you just, there's so much, so many little critters down there waiting to grow.
Well, I can imagine, Janet. I mean, like, and I'm just, because I like to talk here, I like to think big. I like to think big ideas. I love new innovation. I love new kind of business ideas. I'm a bit of an entrepreneur, if you'll allow me. And I'm thinking, Janet, that if, you know, if we're to do this on a big scale, that, you know, we'd need to, I don't know, you probably know more about the process than I do. Would we need to, like, pasteurize it or whatever the term is, like, but for this? Would we need to start doing that?
The interesting thing that the microbiologist spoke to me about was that the merit in this is if some, like, corporation or university that could do it, as you said, on a larger scale, you could, like, take a sample when you're healthy and if you, like, have a yeast infection or something, you could re-inoculate with that same
flora. Right. Sure.
And be healthy.
So it's kind of like a vaccination almost, or, you know.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. As in a sample of when your body was in a good state. So maybe if you could give that to your body again and show it how things should be with all this bacteria and everything. Right. Look, this is interesting. I mean, genuinely, I've never spoken to someone with this, you know, kind of, I guess, story. Janet, can I ask, it's sad as well, because I was reading, and that's why I wanted to make sure that you understood we were respecting you when you came on to chat with us, because my understanding is that, you know, the internet now can be a vile old place for anything, really.
Oh, yeah.
And the reaction to this, amazingly, there has been some quite negative backlash, you say.
Oh, it's been crazy. Yeah. I don't think either of us expected how many people would be interested, and then also the degree of vitriol and hatred that has come out of a little bit of it.
There's, you say, been a hatred?
Lot of, yeah, I mean, I think unfortunately, we're at a time that you say the word feminism and some people shut their brains off and get their hackles up and get ready to spit. And then some people, you say the word vagina and they go crazy and they don't know
they faint.
Yeah, exactly.
So you combine the two and you get kind of an interesting, you know, there have been so many people saying like, oh, all feminists are like this. They're just gross and a waste of space and awful. And,
wow.
She's had people, multiple people, like, say that she was brain damaged and, like, mentally incompetent, and people have called me a slut, which I don't even understand.
There's a lot of evidence here, obviously.
Because you wrote an article.
As the author of the article.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
And what about your friends and family? How did they react? Because I know that if I went home to my mom and I was like, hey, mom, I'm doing this experiment where I'm making yogurt with my vagina and I'm going to write an article about it, I'm sure she'd be like, ah, love.
They'd probably blame it on me.
Yeah, they'd probably blame it on Chris, who I work with, in fairness. Like, they'd be like, he's taken her down a dark path. But what was the reaction? What was the reaction from family and friends?
I won't lie. I had a moment of well, am I going to tell my mom about this? But, you know, it got so big. It's funny. I have a large Southern extended family, and I was a little worried about what they would say. And one of my cousins popped up on, like, the day after the article was published and was like, my friend posted this on her wall, and I have to tell her I was related to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
My other aunt sent me an email that was like, we're so proud of Janet, and the word
well, viral was good.
In quotes every time, and it's been really funny. Everybody has been really welcoming about it.
Well, good. Okay, that's good. At least, you know, that the people in your life have been positive about it, even if there has been some unfortunately ignorant people who haven't been able to see the benefit in this. But honestly, I think this is really cool. I think this is really clever.
It's
like stuff like this. Yeah, absolutely. I really like when people take things that, let's be realistic, are weird, and I don't mean weird in a negative way when I say weird, but take things that certainly the average person wouldn't consider doing and then do it.
Do you know what's funny? I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this and I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of girls out there, you know, who wouldn't say that bacteria is the worst thing they've ever had in their vagina. You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, look, I couldn't comment. Not possessing a vagina, I couldn't comment. But maybe I am the worst thing that you're talking about to some girls. But hey,
oh,
who knows?
Chris, no, babe.
Hey, you know what, actually, what I was thinking of? There's an old joke, and I'm certainly not trying to pass this joke off as my own. But if you think about it, what's the difference really here, if you think about it? The first guy who figured out you could milk a cow and drink what comes out of it, is that not kind of the same thing? Like, if you think about it, before it was normal to do that, a guy had to get down, stroke a cow down there, let the stuff come into a bowl and then drink it. So this is just a new version of that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, this all starts somewhere. Maybe 100 years from now, this will be a common household item. I mean, you just don't know.
Well, vaginas are all in the news as well because of Gwyneth Paltrow. Cause did you hear that, actually, Janice,
yeah,
where she talked about steaming her vagina?
Yep.
Wow.
You know? There was that vagina knitting story, too. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, we did. Me and Chris talked about it. Myself and Chris talked about it, where she inserted the ball of wool up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell you, we're still kind of...
It's so interesting to see... There's so many people that apparently just don't know anything about the vagina, you know? There have been some funny podcasts of, like, there was one, maybe a 12-year-old podcasting that was just like, oh, my God, there's bacteria in the vagina?
Yeah. I'm not going
and
near
was,
that.
My thought was, like, wait till he finds out about eyebrow mites and all the...
Exactly.
All the gross things in the world around you.
Yeah, wow. Well, look, Janet, you make a good point, and I can only imagine that if you are the kind of one of the people behind this article, that it is very funny to hear, I guess, literally the entire world reacting in all the different ways that they react. But look, Janet, really, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat with us. I really appreciate you coming on, despite all of the controversy and publicity that's been given to this. So, Janet, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
There we go. That's Janet. And Janet and Cecilia, well, they put together a little thing called How to Make Breakfast with Your Vagina. But, you know, and that's what's going on. So anyway, that's, man, I tell you, fascinating. And I mean that. Genuinely really fascinating. Joining us in the studio is friend of the show and psychoanalyst, Mr. Michael Murphy. Let's give him a big round of applause. Michael, hi, welcome in, all of that kind of stuff.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Good, good. Well, look, let me tell you why Michael is here. Michael is here because every week we have fun analysing dreams. Now, you may think your dreams are rubbish. You may think they're nonsense, that there's nothing really particularly meaningful going on in your dreams. Well, there is. As we've learned, and you know, Kira and I have been kind of doing this with Michael now for, I mean, nearly a year at this point. And it's amazing the insight that someone can get into what might be going on in your life if you share a dream with us. So what happens is we take dreams from all throughout the week and then we put a few together and we give them to Michael. So if you have a dream that you'd like analysed, 51552 is the number. Maybe you can't think of anything right now, and that's fine. You know, don't force it. If you think of anything between now and this time next week, well, 51552 is the number. Give us a description of your dream and we will put it to Michael when he comes into us next week. But look, we have a few dreams that we've assembled from the past week. And Kira, let's get this started. Okay. What's going on?
This is from a man named Jimmy. He says, I had a dream that I was around my home area where there was a few people that I know, including a girl that I really like. I was being sort of rebuffed by them. Then they realised their mistake and approached me to apologise. A thunderstorm came and they ran off, except for the girl that I like. Lava started pouring from the sky. She was petrified and held on to me for dear life. We eventually got to safety. That's very... very romantic.
Yeah, Jimmy's basically a dream where he's a class hero in the dream.
Yes, Jimmy's the hero.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Romantic hero, indeed. He's rebuffed by the girl he really likes. She realises her mistake and stays with him. As he says, she held on to me for dear life. And then he saves the damsel in distress, as he says. We eventually got to safety. In the middle of the dream, there's a catastrophe. A thunderstorm came and the few people Jimmy knows ran off and lava started pouring from the sky. In other words, a volcano starts erupting. What do you think of that, Chris?
Well, I mean, let's be realistic now here. A volcano, a big old eruption, huh?
Yes.
Big old spurting of fluid
That's
from a kind
exactly
of a cylindrical
right.
object.
A sexual symbol, which is in keeping with the theme of the romantic theme of this dream.
Sure, it is. It's all part of it. And if anything, if you don't mind me, I'm not trying to be smart here. I actually think Jimmy's subconscious chose a very tasteful way of representing that, if you know what I'm saying.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think the dream is preparing Jimmy to be the hero.
Good.
The energy is being mobilised so that he can pursue the girl he really likes and win her affections. All he has to do is acknowledge the heroic, protective qualities that he has and be bold in all senses of the word.
This is a good dream. Yeah, this is a great dream. All right.
Great dream.
Well, Jimmy, there you go. That's what Michael is saying for your dream. All right, well, listen to this. This is from Pat, and it says, I dreamt that I was at a gig and everyone was on their mobile phones. It was like they were all zombies. My girlfriend was shouting gibberish at me. Everything was loud and scary, and I woke up in a sweat. Oh, no, poor Pat. Everything was loud and scary.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, I think... Yeah, what would you say, Kira?
Well, in the current state of affairs, people are like zombies when they're on their phones.
Yeah.
In
they're
everyday
tuned
life,
out.
Even myself included, you know, they tune out of absolutely everything and they don't hear the loudness going on around them.
Yeah. I think this is a dream about the alienation that we can all experience, as you're saying, Kira. You know, the drama of Pat's dream is showing a disconnect between Pat and the others in his circle. He's at a gig, but everyone was on their mobile phone and even his girlfriend was shouting gibberish. He says everything was loud and scary, primarily because there was no human contact.
Does Pat feel a little isolated in his day-to-day life?
I'd say that's going on, wouldn't you think so?
Yeah.
So maybe there's not a lot of communication, let's say, going on between him and his girlfriend because... You know, he says his girlfriend was shouting gibberish at me, so he can't understand her, or she can't understand him on some level.
Yeah.
Good point. Message not getting through there.
And I think there's a clue in the opening line of Pat's dream. I dreamt it was at a gig. Dare I suggest that such a venue is not the ideal location to connect up with people in a meaningful way?
Sure. Everyone, it's too loud. It's too crowded. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're dead right. It's an inherently unsocial setting in a way, like as in antisocial, in terms of real meaningful contact with the person. You're dead right.
Yeah, so Pat needs to make space in his world to calm down his life so that he has the time to make meaningful connections with people in his own way, at his own pace, and he'll find that infinitely rewarding.
There you go, Pat. All right then. Well, let's do this one. What does this one say?
Okay,
here?
This one says, I have constant erotic dreams with all kinds of people in them, men and women, people I know and strangers. There are orgies, but the people's faces have no expression on them. They're just blank. Even though they're about sex, I don't wake up aroused and I'm in a relationship. And that's from Joe.
Hmm.
I wonder, are these dreams really about sex, as you say, Joe, or is there something else in the dreams that the dreams are actually pointing out to you? What do you think, Chris and Kira?
Freedom, you know, or lack of labels, or I don't know, something like that. I mean, a relationship, obviously, he's committed and you know.
If he's in a committed relationship, well, then why is he having constant erotic dreams with all kinds of people?
Kira,
men, women, people he knows, strangers.
And sex is the most intimate connection we can make with other people. And from what you're describing about your erotic dreams, as you say, Joe, all kinds of people, men, women, people you know, strangers, they all have the same thing in common. As you describe it, their faces have no expression on them, just blank. So the people don't matter really. They're interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that means? That, yeah, is that why they
I
have no expression?
So. Yeah,
okay, because I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, and speaking of sex, Jimmy, you use the word blank, and we use the phrase shooting blank. Yeah,
sorry.
I mean that a person is impotent. And certainly there's an absence of desire in your erotic dreams as you relate them, because we react to desire in the faces of others. That's actually what turns us on.
Sure.
So you're not being turned on, Joe, for whatever reason, as you say, I don't wake up aroused. And the way you phrase the ending of that dream is interesting. You say, even though the dreams are about sex, I don't wake up aroused, full stop. I'm in a relationship, full stop. So what's the link there? Because you're in a relationship, you don't wake up aroused. Is that it? There
must
certainly more than meets the eye in the dream, Joe.
Do you think that there's something not all right with his sex life?
He's not fulfilled.
No, he's not fulfilled.
Doesn't seem to be.
No.
And do you think that's because he's with a relationship of the wrong gender, or maybe they just don't have a connection there in bed?
Well, look, all kinds of people, men and women. People I don't know. So there's certainly a bisexual thing going on in the dream, you know?
All right then. Well, Joe, there you go. Maybe there are certain, you know, itches that aren't being scratched that maybe you should look at. Well, listen to this one. This is from a girl called Tara. It says, I was riding a bike from college. I got lost and ended up at a friend's house who was making robots that looked like humans. It was weird but funny. There were these robot people hanging up all over the place like a butcher's. We were laughing in the dream. I wouldn't be laughing at that image.
No,
sounds crazy.
I think that's an awful image.
So do
I
yeah.
Say. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Really. Yeah.
Well, Tara seems to think it's funny.
Yeah.
So what's she doing?
I think the dream is bringing to Tara's attention in graphic form something about her friend that she's either overlooked or never saw before. The dream is very clear about this. Tara's friend makes robots that look like humans, and she has them hanging on her wall like trophies, or more specifically, like the dead meat in a butcher's shop. Now, a robot is a mechanical device that does some work of a human being. It's a Czech word, robota, meaning work or labour, which is related to the Slavic word for slave.
Okay.
So that's what Tara's friend does. She makes slaves that look like humans. It's a trickster motif in the dream, apparently funny, but which is not to be taken at face value. There's a real truth lurking under the surface here about Tara's friend, perhaps about the way that her friend relates to other people. She somehow demeans them, turning them into mechanical working objects.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my head. I was like, Tara's friend sounds like, you know, the sort of girl who would kind of bitch about the other girls.
Right, okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. She makes slaves of people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So be careful,
oh,
Tara.
Dear.
Watch your step with this friend. You don't want to end up as a trophy on a wall.
No, not like one of those robots hanging up.
On a subconscious level, Tara must realise this about this particular person.
Out of the corner of her eye, she's seen that. But
there's something.
The dream is certainly bringing that to her attention.
I think our intuition as well would tell us about certain friends like that, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. I also wouldn't let the laughter distract us in the dream. Because you know the way sometimes when people are confronted with something unpleasant, they just laugh at it initially.
Yes.
In
you know, like you laugh
way.
At a funeral. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In an awkward way, in an embarrassed and kind of uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
So there you go. Wow. Okay, some very interesting dreams tonight. Well, I tell you, this is always good fun. And I love when Michael comes in and we sit down and we analyse dreams. And if you'd like any more information about this, Michael has a website, which is psychologicaltherapyservices.com, psychologicaltherapyservices.com. And as I say every week, if you have any dreams that you'd like us to look at, I say us as though like I'm an expert as well, as though we're a panel of experts. Well, I'll have a look
experts.
At that.
Yes.
If you'd like Michael, the expert, to look at it, 51552 is the number. It is as simple as that. 51552, anytime between now and next Tuesday. And we will get them in, we will show them to Michael, and we will have a little chat like this about it. Michael, as always, thank you for coming in.
I was delighted to be here.
I actually had an interesting day today. Speaking of, you know, weeks flying by, when you have interesting, fun, varied things going on in your day, it can make the time go a little quicker. And I feel I had the great privilege today of talking to friend of the show, Crown. Now, Crown is a guy who's been listening to myself and Kira for a while, even before we came to 2FM. And he has a podcast, would you believe? Now, Crown is from Sweden, and I think Crown has a very cool way of talking, as it is. And, you know, I like to chat with Crown, and he runs a podcast that he puts up on YouTube and stuff, and he does all of that. So I went on his podcast today, and I think that is one of the kind of cooler aspects of this job. You get to go on things like that. You know what
you
I'm saying?
You get to talk to people that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, in different countries around the world. It's pretty awesome.
It is. Crown is kind of like our pen pal, I guess. And, you know, we chat with him on Twitter and all that. So anyway, Crown does a podcast every week, and he invited me on the podcast, and it was good fun. It was great fun, actually, I have to say. It was very enjoyable. I Skyped with Crown, and he recorded it into his computer and everything, and he records himself talking. So, as in, you can look at him as he chats and everything. You can see his facial expressions and everything. And it's fun, I have to say. And I just thought I would play this for you, because I'm not going to play you the podcast because it's 54 minutes.
54
you know me.
Minutes?
Yeah, you know me. I'm well
what
able to talk.
What did you talk about for 54 minutes?
Me and Crown literally figured out the world
Are
in
you
54
serious?
Minutes. We did it. We did everything. We did everything there is to do. We had very deep, meaningful conversations, as they would say. Very philosophical chats.
You never have deep, meaningful conversations with me.
Well, you're not Crown. You know
That's
what I'm
true.
Saying? You don't have Crown's star power. But
that is
true. Crown certainly does. And I went on with him, and look, obviously I'm going to play you 55 minutes. You can check it out. I'll tweet, actually, the link in a minute, because it's fun. I'll put it up on my Twitter in case anyone wants to have a look. But Crown, at the end of the interview, the Skype started breaking up, and it got quite frustrating. So I just told Crown I was going to leave, and, you know, that went down fairly all right or whatever. However, it's then when I leave, Crown starts swearing. And honestly,
what?
It's so funny. Listening to Crown, because I think Crown has not a funny accent, but he has a very unusual, unique accent.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Crown swear his head off in English at me.
With the Swedish accent.
Yeah, it's very funny. I have to say, I wouldn't play it for you otherwise. But it is genuinely really funny. So here, I'll give you the kind of lead up to it, which is me and Crown kind of arguing. Not arguing, playfully arguing, you know.
Well, Crown, this is your fault, and I'm putting this on you.
Also, the sound quality is really good for something that was just done over Skype. I'm impressed. Yeah.
You know, pal,
always blame Skype.
This is bullshit, Crown.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of operation you're running here. And quite frankly, I don't want to be involved in it anymore. So okay. I'm going to go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, bye, Crown. This is ridiculous.
Nudes and that sort of
I
stuff.
I will be fully nude. And I'm going to be nude now in a more professional environment where this kind of stuff doesn't happen. Okay,
yes.
Crown, this is bullshit. Okay, bye.
Yes. You have.
That sound is
That's
me
hanging
up
Skype.
On Skype.
Okay.
Yeah, and then this is what Crown does.
Bullshit. Okay, bye.
Yes, you have... Okay, so I didn't have time to even stop the show. So, thank you all for listening, watching, and now I can say anything about Chris and he wouldn't know. That fucking asshole. What the fuck did he do on this podcast? Why did we have him on? Fucking nude asshole. Son of a bitch. I shouldn't have him on again. Like, blaming me and all of that.
It's very funny. Do you know what I mean?
Why is it, Chris? Okay?
I don't know.
You do an hour podcast with someone, you know, that we've never met that listens to the show.
Yeah.
And you manage to irritate them to the point where they're screaming expletives after you get off Skype. Please play it again.
That nude asshole.
Please play it again.
Now I can say anything about Chris and he wouldn't know. That fucking asshole. What the fuck did he do on this podcast? Why did we have him on? Fucking nude asshole. Son of a bitch. I shouldn't have him on again.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting back on Crown's podcast, obviously. Also, then Crown calls me a douchebag later on.
Really?
Hold on, yeah.
Like, blaming me and all of that, when it's clearly always Skype's fault. What a douchebag. What a douchebag. Okay, so
there you go.
And then he does the outro for the
show. Wow. So he called you an effing asshole. Sorry,
effing nude asshole. Yeah.
A son of a bitch.
Yep.
A douchebag. He calls you a douchebag twice.
He says, why should I be on the show?
Wow.
And he says they're not having me back on.
You've made quite an impression with our friend Crown, who probably doesn't listen to the show anymore. So
well, probably not. Not after that, how could he? Not after that bashing I got when I left the podcast.
I'm used to hearing Irish people curse heavily when your name is mentioned, yeah. But I've never heard a Swedish person with an excellent excellent level of English.
By the way, yeah, Crown has incredible English. Crown has better English than like some people I know who are from Ireland. Yeah, absolutely.
Play it again.
Do you want to hear it one more time? Okay, hold on.
And now I can...
By the way, of course, this clip contains strong language. Here you go.
Say anything about Chris and he wouldn't know. That fucking asshole. What the fuck did he do on this podcast? Why did we have him on? Fucking nude asshole. Son of a bitch.
Let me get right down to it and find out some of the wonderful reasons that everybody is awake tonight. Mindy, from Navin says, I'm building a mini FPV quadcopter for world speed record. As any other night, I'm awake listening to yous and building copters. Well, Mindy, that sounds kind of cool.
It does.
Now, so quadcopters, these are kind of like drones. These are very common now. I see a lot of people using these and like attaching cameras to them and everything. And Mindy, you build those? Well, whatever it is, that sounds cool. That sounds genuinely interesting, as opposed to, I'm awake wanking. Or as Max in Wexford says, I'm awake because I want to say I have stopped wanking for Lent and I'm going mad. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Max. I tried that once a few years ago. It's very difficult. I will be honest with you. It's almost impossible. And it gets to the point where it just starts happening anyway if you don't go near it. He has a mind of his own and he decides that if you're not going to help him, he has his own agenda to set. So,
Chris,
hey, it's true. It's best
too
of
much
luck.
Information.
It's true, though. You really can't stop it, Max, in Wexford. It's a normal thing and you shouldn't be ashamed of it. So you never know. Maybe even Jesus, when he was there in the desert, kind of had the odd. Just to keep himself, tied over. I mean, you never know. I wouldn't hold yourself to too high a standard. Let's see. Someone says, just finished my half of the night shift, still calving those cows.
Of course. It's lambing and calving season, isn't it?
Yeah, because Barry in Monaghan says, I'm awake because I'm up all night lambing sheep. So there you go. You're not alone, Dexter.
And as always, we would request that if you do have some lambs, that you name them after myself and Chris and Kira.
If you'd consider it, yeah.
It's cute.
It is cute. Yeah, lambs. It is actually.
It's like little Chris and Kira frolicking across the field.
Yeah. And like you pick them up and you know they have little furry coats and you shave them and all. You're like, oh, look at little Chris and Kira. Exactly. Kira's speaking sense. Connell in Galway says, cleaning the house before the landlord comes up tomorrow.
Ooh.
There you go, Connell. Good idea. Someone says, hey guys, Ali here. On the way home from work with my girlfriend, can you play Two Times by Anne Lee? Weren't we going to play that?
Play that on Thursday.
Yes, every Thursday after midnight, we do all 90s music. So how about we put it in the system for then? I know that's not exactly what you ladies want, but, it's a start. Ollie in Waterford says, I'm awake, lads, because I've been talking to a fella from America all day that I met on Instagram. It turns out the Yanks aren't so bad after all. Well, no, Ollie, I don't think they are.
No, I don't know whoever said that, Ollie.
I think they're fairly friendly people in general. Someone says, I'm awake because I'm driving home from the airport after waiting 3 hours for my girlfriend to come back home from Peter and Kevin. Well, that's very good of you, Peter and Kevin.
You're a good boyfriend, Peter.
Kira, you'll like this one. It says, I'm awake because that one, the radio talking, is like getting a free call girl. My dream is for her to ring me.
Wow. Hashtag forever alone.
He's probably talking about you, is he?
I don't know.
He could be talking about me.
Could be talking about you.
Yeah, you never know. 51552, I would love to know what it is you are doing awake. Luke and Tip says he's awake because I am an effing nude asshole. Of course, in reference to friend of the show, Crown, who was shouting at me earlier.
John and Leash is awake because he's on the way home from poker and he came fourth, so he's happy out.
Oh, that's not so bad. Well done. That's all right. Any prize money in there? Anything going on there? Well, I hope so. Someone says as well, I am awake browsing Le Reddit. Well, there you go. Le Reddit is a fantastic website, Q. Did you know that?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm missing
Reddit.
Something here. Oh, I know Reddit.
Yeah, there's lots of memes on
Le
there.
Le Reddit?
And stuff. Yeah.
Is that like the French version of Reddit?
Yeah. And, something fun happens on Reddit every midnight. The bacon is eaten and stuff. It's very good fun. The guy, Kira, this is a fun internet meme that us guys on Reddit, it's an exclusive club that only a few guys are a member of, and we talk about it there. So there you go. Yeah, you wouldn't understand. Someone says, I'm awake making pancakes because I become an uncontrollable fat beast at night. Cats, so do I. It's the worst. When I get out of here.
Both of us do.
oh, stop. Like, I can moderate and eat quite well all day, but then after I finish in here, I want just filthy carbs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying, Kat? Just filthy old carbs. I hear you.
Ailsa is awake because she was just at the brilliant Hudson Taylor gig in the Spirit Store in Dundalk, similarly. And also, nice. She has the hiccups too, so that's why she's also awake.
Ugh, nothing worse than that. All right. Well, look, you tell us what it is you're doing awake. Right, tell you what I will do. I will get to a few more of the reasons as to what it is you're doing awake, and then we must get a review of the show from Kira. So someone says, well, guys, I'm awake driving from Dublin to Gorey after visiting friends and, of course, leaving it till stupid o'clock to head home, feeling sorry for myself because I have to be up at 6 for work.
Ooh.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I have to be up early in the morning, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, no, it's just I'm just doing something on radio.
Oh, cool. You're doing something on a cool radio station?
Yeah, yeah.
What radio station would that be?
It's called 2FM.
Oh, wow. Oh, what cool thing are you doing?
I'm on with Tubbity in the morning.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't want to say to you because I know you get jealous.
Oh, I do. Man, you know. I can't stand it. It infuriates me. But there you go. What are you doing on Tubbity?
I'm talking about fan fiction tomorrow morning, actually.
Oh, cool. That actually does sound interesting. I heard Tubbity's mad into his fan fiction. I heard Tubbity writes JFK fan fiction. But like what the Kennedys would have done, like in different situations and stuff. Ferdy's one of the most prolific kind of writers of
it's
on the internet.
I didn't come across him.
No, he is.
Oh, God.
He uses another name, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say like that to him tomorrow.
Tryin' Rubriddy is what he calls himself.
Oh, really?
On. Yeah.
So okay, I'm going to look that up when I go home. No, thank you, Chris.
No worries.
Well, thanks for helping me.
You're welcome. Rafael the Trucker says this M7 motorway will never end. Dobranuts. Well, Dobranuts to you.
Dobranuts.
Rafael the Trucker. Also, Neve in the Midlands says, hey guys, I'm awake, I'm on the night shift for the next two nights. Great show. Well, thank you, Neve. Good to have you with us for the next two nights. And David in Limerick says, I'm awake because every time I close my eyes I can picture that woman from earlier making yogurt in her ghee. Thank you 2FM for mentally scarring me. Well, look, David in Limerick, sometimes as public service national broadcasters, this is what we have to do. We have to bring the people of Ireland issues that they may not like to hear, but that still need to be reported on. I'm sorry, David, if the truth was too much for you. But that's what we're doing in
here. That's what's going on in the world, David.
Yes, David, you can't bury your head in the sand, okay, friend?
There's no point living a sheltered life there in Limerick.
No, exactly, David. So I'm sorry that you didn't like what you heard, but maybe it's time you started adjusting to the real world. Anyway. Hey, you know what, actually? It is time, I think, that we got a review of the show from Kira. So I would ask now, if at all possible.
Sure, but before we do that, Chris, if that's okay, I just want to give a shout out to Patrick on Twitter.
Okay.
And he says, I'm awake in Cork because I'm making replacement knees. And he wants to say to Damo, Cashy and Richie and Roll on 7 a.m. and they love the show. So hi, boys.
Oh, cool. That's actually a really cool
good
idea.
Good people to know.
Exactly. Yeah,
good
very
people
good people to
know.
Because those knees and stuff, those prosthesis is expensive.
And of course, in case you get kneecapped.
Oh, of course. I didn't consider that.
Yeah.
Well. Much more realistic probability. All right, well, look, let me get the national anthem. Kira can deliver her review of the show and we will all stand now.
Thank you, Chris. Yes. Well, we started the show tonight talking to the lovely Miss Emma Power, who's on playing the Fig Celebrity News Quiz. Which Emma won, ending Chris's 2 weeks in a row
whatever.
Streak?
Yeah.
He's very,
well
done, very bitter about
You're
it.
You're so good, Emma.
We talked to Janet about her friend who was trying to make yogurt out of her vaginal secretions. There were some very interesting responses.
Yes, that's actually, that's not sarcasm, that's what we did.
It's true. Michael Murphy, our psychoanalyst, was on to analyse the dreams of the listeners. Chris did a podcast with the listener from Sweden today who shouted Manny a spectacular expletive after Chris hung up on him on Skype. And then, of course, we finished the show like we always do. Asking the wonderful Irish public out there what it is they're doing awake.
For the last bit of the show, will we play Crown's Expletives
Let's
again?
Do it.
We'll play a Swedish man shouting at me, cursing in English. It's very, very funny. For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kieran.
Goodbye.
I will be fully nude, and I'm going to be nude now in a more professional environment where this kind of stuff doesn't happen, okay,
yes.
Cron? This is bullshit, okay? Bye.
Yes. If you have... Okay, so I didn't have time to even stop the show. So, thank you all for listening, watching, and now I can say anything about Chris and he wouldn't know. That fucking asshole! What the fuck did he do on this podcast? Why did we have him on? Fucking nude asshole. Son of a bitch.
Chris and Kira. 2FM.